This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Okay, my last hour on The Fan, really my last 54 minutes, so 888-808-1019, last call for calls if you want to talk about anything we talked about. Let's introduce something else that we haven't talked about, then we'll go back to the phones. Howard, stay where you are, you'll be first. So, first I want to say that prank calls at the draft have been going on forever. If you remember, Baker Mayfield was the first pick. And one of his buddies pranked him that was at his draft party. But it's different when you get pranked by someone that got your number, your personal number from a friend or a college classmate or a teammate. It is a complete different thing when Shedeur Sanders has a phone specifically for NFL personnel and that number gets leaked, and not even leaked. That number basically was stolen and used to prank him. And what you're seeing here is the NFL, right? When we talked about Stephen A. Smith calling collusion, there's no collusion here. The NFL, as far as a company, Roger Goodell, the NFL offices, shout out to the NFL offices. I've been up there years ago, interviewed for the NFL. Like, they are a marketing machine, and like, they are all in on Shedeur Sanders. So much so that like, they pinned his tweet on, or his graphic on their Instagram. You've never seen a 144 fifth round pick get as much hype and coverage, even in the draft. I think a memo was sent out, not just from the NFL, but ESPN and Mel Kiper, like, Shedeur, because the kid's got 2.4 million Instagram followers. He's got kids that are fans of him, but he's also got a lot of people just across, like, you know, all types of walks of life, and definitely the black community supporting him as well. And those numbers are what dictate a lot of things. A lot of things are decided off of following and engagement and what gets clicks. So Shedeur's family was all at his house in Texas where he grew up, and his brother Bucky, Deion Sanders Jr., is always vlogging. They vlog everything, and then they go back and cut it up and edit it and put it out. They just don't know when a moment is going to hit that might be good content. Everything, I've heard Tiki Barber refer to them as the Kardashians of football. He is correct. They had a reality TV show years ago, and ever since, they have been documenting everything. So what made this also heightened is that they were able to release the clip of him being prank called. And I've gone back and forth with some people about it. People are so stupid. They're like, it was a prank. Tyler Warren got pranked. Abdul Carter got pranked. This guy got pranked. That guy got pranked. Okay, they're not Shedeur Sanders. We don't have film of the prank call. And the number wasn't a breach of NFL private information. So let's play Jeff Ulbrich after the verdict comes down today or yesterday now that the NFL fines, right, the Shield. They can't have stuff like this go on. People were calling for the Falcons to fire this guy. He hasn't even started yet. He just got the job. But the NFL fined the Falcons $250,000 and Jeff Ulbrich $100,000 because his son Jax Ulbrich went on his iPad, took the number down, brought it to his friends, and in a dorm room, they pranked Shedeur Sanders, and it went viral. Let's hear what former Jets head coach Jeff Ulbrich had to say today at the podium, clearly emotional and showing some remorse for the mistake that happened and how this all went down.
First of all, I'd like to publicly apologize to Shedeur and the Sanders family for what occurred. Second of all, I want to publicly apologize to Mr. Blank, Terry Fontenot, Raheem Morris, and the entire Falcons organization. My actions of not protecting confidential data were inexcusable. My son's actions were absolutely inexcusable. And for that, we are both deeply sorry. The NFL has taken action, and I fully respect the punishment. We take full responsibility, my son and myself, and we will not be appealing the fine in any way. Going forward, I promise my son and I will work hard to demonstrate we are better than this. Again, I'm deeply sorry for our actions.
Questions?
Yeah, so, you know, it's probably been a tough couple days for him. You could probably understand that when this came across, he was probably as shocked as anybody else. Jax Ulbrich is a football player at Berry College. And I think Berry College is a small private school, probably D2 or D3. He obviously is there now in Georgia because his dad is coaching at the Atlanta Falcons. But he obviously also was up here in Jersey with the Jets while his dad was head coach there. This young man has been around his dad being an NFL head coach for years and an NFL player when he was a kid. When you hear Jeff Ulbrich talk about we take full responsibility, he's taking full responsibility, you know, with the kid that he raised doing this, as well as like him falling asleep at the wheel with confidential information and not even having the thought, the presence of mind that, hey, like my son is a knucklehead. My son could take this and do something with it that could hurt me. So Jax Ulbrich, number 20 at Berry College. He's a running back. Everybody knows him now because when I Googled his name, the roster comes up. And when you see that video, that's another thing too. Like if you want to do something, don't film it. Like if you want to do something funny, like get the laugh. But like, you know what? Everybody needs clicks now. This young man cost his family $100,000. I don't know how his dad doesn't absolutely whoop his ass. Like maybe he did. Maybe he did. $100,000 because you wanted to be funny. $100,000, like, and he's there's clearly two other guys in the room. The guy that called, like, when you see the viral video, Jax is the one sitting on the bed, but there's a guy that called wearing the Ole Miss shirt, and then someone filming it. Where are their dads? Where's the fine for them? Like, you put your dad's job in jeopardy, and I feel bad for Jeff Ulbrich. I was just saying to Fleegs and Connor as Fleegs came in and Connor left. They're both Jets fans. I'm like, damn, look at all the situations Jeff Ulbrich has been thrown into. You know, he comes in thinking he's going to be defensive coordinator with Rob Saleh and Zach Wilson is going to come in. And or I don't even know. He's there before Zach Wilson, but Zach Wilson comes in. That's an absolute mess. Then they get Aaron Rodgers and they think, like you've seen him in Hard Knocks talk about like yo, we're going to be in every game because that guy can make every throw. And then four plays in. And then this year, five games in, they fire Rob Saleh and they make him head coach. And what? I gotta be a head coach now? And then, obviously, they fire everyone. And he's able to join Raheem Morris down in Atlanta as the defensive coordinator before he can coach a practice. Before he can even get through his first draft. His son is putting his job in jeopardy, costing him $100,000. And going viral where everybody sees this, everybody knows this. But you know what? Shedeur Sanders and Dion, they took the call. And they were very gracious, obviously, and understanding. And, you know, I don't think they made a big deal out of it because they're like, yo, it is what it is. Kids are going to be kids. But this kid is 21 years old. He's in college. That, you know, that was foul because you messed up somebody's moment, right? This is a moment that this guy worked for and been waiting for. And, yeah, people say it's just a prank. And so what? It was funny. Yeah, well, it wasn't funny to the NFL. It wasn't funny to the Falcons who drafted Deion. It cost the Falcons $250,000. It's $350,000 worth of damage because you wanted to be funny. Like, I'm sure Jeff Ulbrich went belt to ass or maybe fist to back or something. That, I'm sure Jax Ulbrich he's still feeling it right now. 888-808-1019. But as far as Shedeur Sanders goes, talking about how they film everything, Shedeur is in Cleveland. Video has already come out of him running up a hill, doing lunges up a hill, working out. I'm sure he's already reported to the facility. Now he's got to get it out the mud, right? A kid that's had everything handed to him, a kid that's had everything put in front of him because of his dad can't help him here. Now he's got to grind. Now he's got to work. Let's see what happens. I know what is going to continue, though, and already has happened. Shedeur Sanders has the top-selling jersey out of the 2025 rookie class. You know why? Because he's Shedeur Sanders. Because he's got 2.4 million Instagram followers and a bunch of more Twitter followers and YouTube subs, and no such publicity is bad publicity. Yeah, he got humbled, but people think that he got embarrassed and they taught him a lesson. He's still getting money, and that jersey's going to be everywhere. He's selling more jerseys than when Colin Kaepernick. And it's funny, as I say that, I click on the article and there's Colin Kaepernick in the article. Because people wanted to pair these two, that the NFL colluded against Colin Kaepernick and they're doing the same thing with Shedeur. No, they're not. No, they're not. I think there might have been 10 teams that potentially even met with Shedeur and thought about drafting him. And maybe two or three of those teams, after the way that he handled the meetings and everything else, took him off the board. And then as he fell, he probably lost another two or three other teams. And then as quarterbacks were drafted by those teams, there was really one team that would take him, and it was the Browns, who had already taken Dillon Gabriel, and they just spun the block again and picked him up. But, hey, this is creating a great movie, right? Let's see what Shedeur Sanders has an opportunity to go in there and compete and make the team and potentially start. So 877-337-6666. That's not the number anymore, but wanted to get that Jeff Ulbrich story in, and also wanted to plant some seeds with the Jet fans. One, Jordan Travis. I know I heard a bunch of calls come in about Jordan Travis. Well, how about Jordan Travis? What about that Jordan? Actually, it's a waste of a draft pick because Jordan Travis is retiring from the NFL, and I feel terrible for the guy because I watched him at Florida State. He made me some money at Florida State, and he was a baller. He could play. His leg just never responded the way that he hoped. Is that on the Jets? I don't know. Who did he rehab with? Who did he trust? But anyway, he said, I gave everything I had to the rehab process. Despite all my efforts, my leg never responded the way we hoped. I've been medically advised to retire from the game I love so deeply. Like, that sucks. That hurts. And it's funny because Aaron Glenn was asked about him. He said, I'm not a doctor. Well, the doctors say that he shouldn't play. So we'll see what happens with that. In other news, your boy Sauce Gardner is dating Ice Spice. They're posting pictures. First, there was a picture, I think, outside by his truck. Now they got the bathroom selfie going. A New York love story. Ahmad Sauce Gardner, number one from your New York Jets out in Florham Park. And Ice Spice from the Bronx, from the BX power couple. You know, she was with Taylor Swift. And you know, Taylor Swift had her at the Super Bowl. And she saw Taylor Swift was dating Travis Kelce. And she's like, oh, I got to get me a baller. I got to get me a football player. Sauce, don't get lost in the sauce, bro. You need to have a big year. And for the Yankees, I was saying this last year, we need Ice Spice to come to the stadium and throw out the first pitch. See how I'm bringing it around? See how it was, follow me. We need Ice Spice to come to Yankee Stadium and throw out the first pitch. A Boogie has, and I've seen A Boogie in Legends. We need Ice Spice to throw out the first pitch of the Subway Series, and we need her and Sauce to be sitting in Legends for Mets versus Yankees, the first matchup of Soto versus Judge. Howard in Westchester County, you're on the Fan. Go for it, Howard.
Hey, how are you? Love the show.
Thanks, man.
Couple quick things. Couple numbers for you to chew on for a second. I got 10, 31, 427, 3, 12, 241.
Okay, are those judges' numbers?
Those are judges' numbers followed by Soto's numbers. And the numbers are staggering, and I'm not sure where he would have done that on the Yankees or not, but and I don't think it was just money. I think he wanted his own team and get away from Judge, but that may not have been a great idea in retrospect. Batting in front of Judge is not a bad thing. But when you look at those numbers, 10, 31, 4, 27, 3, 12, and 2, 41, pretty amazing, staggering differences there. So for the Yankees and Soto and Judge. The other piece I wanted to mention, you know, my Knicks, I think Knicks fans really don't get this team that much. They are a very talented team. I think the dog they're really missing is not Randall or DiVincenzo, who I like very much, but Hartenstein. He rebounded. He was tough. He passed the ball.
Yes.
He hit that running little jump shot. He did everything that Mitch Robinson can't do other than rebound. And so that's the dog I think they're missing. And
Great point.
I'm still a huge Knicks fan, and that's the difference, man. It's, you know, and I like Randall and DiVincenzo, but Hartenstein's the main difference.
Yeah. No, you're right. If he was on this team, it would look a lot different. I don't know how it would look, but, you know, with Cat, if he could be on the floor with Cat, crazy.
Yeah, but he's got the grit that those guys lack. But not necessarily talent, but the grit in the overall game, which I think we're missing big time. The last piece, real common on the Giants, I think they did a great job on the draft. I think they've lost all their luster in the past. You know, it was a horrible year. The Saquon and the safety and the show was just a disaster for them. Yep. But I think they've recaptured some luster. They picked 5, 6 good guys, and it's now up to them to do it. They're in a tough division, but I think they've restored some of our excitement, luster, and reputation that they lost, and looking forward to that season greatly.
Oh, absolutely. Great call, Howard. Thanks for holding, and thanks for adding all that. Yeah, when you put Judge's numbers next to Soto's numbers, you shouldn't put them next to each other. And so, like, he started off, and I'm like, oh, he's talking about Judge. Judge has 10 homers now. Soto's got 3. Mark Vientos has 4. Lindor, I think, has, like, 6. I think Alonso has 8, like, on his own team. When you look at Judge's, like, average, no. I'm not even going to go back and, like, give you what he was pointing out. Like, even, like, 12 runs batted in versus 32. Like, Judge has 20 more ribbies than Juan Soto. Like, there is no. It's funny because people were trying to do that preseason. Oh, who's the best player in New York, Judge or Soto? Soto has never been better than Judge. So we can not do that. We can leave that one out. And Isaiah Hartenstein, iHeart. Yeah. Big difference without him. But that's the way the cookie crumbles. You know, you're not able to pay him. I think I was on ChatGPT. I kept being on air and not being able to articulate the Isaiah Hartenstein thing. And I'm like, yo, how do I, you know, like get this to where I can, you know, say it somewhere in my notes. So I got to find it. Either way, we'll take calls and I'll get like, but it's just the way that the team was built. And you weren't able to pay Isaiah Hartenstein what OKC could. So you don't have him, you go get Cat. It is what it is. And as far as the Giants draft, I talked about it a couple days ago, but like, what impressed me the most about the Giants draft, round one, day one, you get Abdul Carter, you trade back in and get Jackson Dart. You made the fans happy. You got the draft the best available generational player, arguably the best player in the draft by some in Abdul Carter. But then you also satisfied the fans that are like, we need a quarterback. We got to get a quarterback. When are we going to draft our quarterback of the future? You did that in the first day. But then the next, and this was the weekend, I wasn't even on. When they got Darius Alexander followed up by Cam Scadaboo, I'm like, hold on. I'm like, those two picks, those guys are going to play this year and make an impact. Darius Alexander is a big dude, but he's athletic, and he's like that. Cam Scattaboo, do not sleep on what he can be in the NFL. I look at him as the closer that you need. You know, a couple years back when you had Saquon and he could get you a first down, move the sticks, he could kill the clock, he could wear defenses down late where, like, you're in those tight games and you're taking their heart because it's just like you're killing clock, you're moving the chains, you're getting first downs, time of possession. Like, Cam Scattaboo could be that. Nobody wants to tackle that guy in the fourth quarter after a long game. So those were the most impressive picks to me. Back-to-back picks. Darius Alexander from Toledo and then Cam Scattaboo. 888-808-1019. Back talking football a little bit. Steve out in Rockland on the Fan in New York. What's up, Steve?
Man, there are three. So this thing with Shedeur Sanders, first of all, you know, I don't think it would be inappropriate for the team to say to Jeff Albert, that $250,000 that we got taxed on, that's coming out of your pay, bro. That's number one, okay? Number two, I could never imagine at that age doing something so juvenile, so immature, and just so inappropriate.
Oh, we're losing you, Steve. No, yeah, but yo, we're in a different time. I have a 2-year-old kid, and I'm like, where are we going to be in 10 years with the social media when my son wants a phone, when my son wants to be on whatever social media platform? It's all these kids care about now. Everything is clout-based. Everything is followers and likes, and like, their brains function through what is going to be seen or done on the internet. And it's crazy for me, because, like, I use the internet strictly as a tool. I'm promoting myself all day on it. I'm researching all day on it. I'm building my name, my brand on it. I'm using it to work for me. Like, I've always used it that way. But it's a double-edged sword. It's tricky, you know? A lot of these kids aren't, like, Jax Olbrich, his thought was, we're going to prank Shedeur Sanders with this number, where I'm going to take this number. He's not even thinking about the ramifications, because if he was, he would have been like, yo, put the phone down. Don't film this. And then, or you, it's one thing to film it. It's another thing to post it and go live with it. Insane. You just cost your pops $100,000. You might have cost your pops a job, where if they fired him, because they could fire him before the season, if they fired your dad, he might not get picked up as a defensive coordinator in the NFL. There's only 32 of those jobs. Bro, it's nuts. It's nuts. It's insane. And I could tell Jeff Olbrich looked stressed out. He was remorseful. He was emotional a bit. And I could tell it was a rough weekend in his household. He had to kick his son's ass. He had to, and I'm sure he loves his boy, but he is super disappointed, and he's down six figures off that. And he's walking into the building. He apologized to the owner, Arthur Blank. Apologized. He's like, wow, this came back to us? The Falcons weren't drafting Shedeur Sanders. They drafted Michael Penix Jr. in the first round last year. Like, like the fact that, like, these jokes write themselves. The Falcons weren't taking him. But they're one of the teams that might have had an interview with him. You know why? Because I'm sure there's a relationship with Deion. They drafted Deion. So they might have done a solid and interviewed Shedeur, talked to Shedeur, had a meeting with Shedeur. Where, like, if you do fall, not for nothing, we have Michael Penix Jr. and Kirk Cousins here, which now there's rumors Kirk Cousins might play for the Steelers. I don't know. But the Falcons were not drafting Shedeur Sanders. They should have never been involved in this Shedeur Sanders stuff. They should have never been involved in it. John is in Huntington. John, you're on the Fan.
What's up, Rocky? Real quick, didn't the kid say he was the Saints general manager, Mickey Loomis?
So it wasn't Olbrich's son, but the kid with the Ole Miss shirt, yeah, posed as the Saints general manager, Mickey Loomis, which
yeah,
also
so
is funny, like,
it would have been more the Saints drafting him, he was thinking that, if anything.
Yeah, but how did the Falcons have this number?
Have his number? Okay, I got what you're saying there. I got that. And, like, I feel bad because I really want the guy. I don't want the guy to get fired, but I want the guy to get fired to teach that kid a lesson, because I really don't think that was the least bit funny in any way, shape, or form.
He got the lesson learned at home. He's probably, I'm telling you, there's no way. How do you not put hands on the kid? And I'm not condoning that, but I'm like, $100,000 and this much embarrassment? You went into my iPad and you got this number? Like, you pulled you insane? Do you not have a brain? Were you not thinking about what could happen from all of this?
Yeah, you're 21 years old. I don't understand. You know, you're not a baby.
You're not even a teenager. You're not a high school kid. You're a grown man. Yo, you're in college on your own.
I wanted to make a point about Shador real quick. I really think a lot of this stuff with him falling in the draft has so much to do with his father and them not wanting a coach in the background, basically just hovering over whoever's the head coach. And always the speculation of when's Deion coming? When's Deion going to come? When's Deion going to come? And I really don't think people wanted to deal with that.
Of course.
I think that was a huge part.
There was so much talk about the Giants, let's use for example. They're going to draft Shador, and they're going to have a terrible year. They're going to fire Brian Daboll, and here comes Deion Sanders. And every time that came up on my show, I'm like, do you know how ridiculous that sounds? He's out there at Colorado. He just signed a big deal. And he doesn't have enough coaching experience to coach in the NFL. But you're
Deion's never been quiet in his life either, too.
It brought so much potentially to an organization that was not worth what the player's talent level is. Thanks for the call, John. I talked about this at length Monday, but I'll do it quickly here. They misplayed their hand. And I said this Monday, if you were listening to the show Monday night, I said, if there's one take that you take from me talking about Shador Sanders, it's this. Deion and Shador completely misplayed their hand. They were sitting at the poker table thinking they were going to walk away with $45 million. They walked away with $5 million. Because everything that they did leading up, they played their hand as if this kid was Jaden Daniels coming into the league. He's not. They played it like he was Deion Sanders coming in the quarterback form. He's not that at all. All of the statements from, oh yeah, I might pull an Eli if a team is looking to draft him that I don't know. No, you'll take any team to draft your son. The Browns have been one of the worst teams in the NFL over the last decade. It's them and the Giants and the Jets and the Jaguars. You'll be elated when they call your phone to say, yeah, we put the card in for you. So just that, the pretending that you could even move like Archie and Eli moved many moons ago, you can't. You're not like that. Also, the way that he approached the combine, the way that he approached the East-West Shrine Bowl, he didn't go and compete. In football, they want to see you compete at everything. What I hear about Jackson Dart, he competes at everything. Everything he does. If it's Connect Four, he wants to win. Lane Kiffin started playing pickleball. He told Jackson Dart about it. He played against Jackson Dart. He beat him at first. Jackson Dart, in a couple weeks, learned how to play pickleball and started whooping Lane Kiffin's ass. Like, you want a guy that's going to compete like that. He thought he was above competing. He goes to the East-West Shrine game because it's in Texas. It's in Dallas. And if you remember that game, right, there was something that he said in an interview. He wasn't playing, but he made some he made a remark like, yeah, I'm going to be playing here on Sunday soon anyway. Or like, I'm going to be playing. Like, I think he like was foreshadowing that he would be drafted by the Giants playing against the Dallas Cowboys in AT&T Stadium soon anyway. And it's like, bro, please. Oh my goodness. They misplayed their hand completely. So you didn't go compete at the Senior Bowl. You go to East-West Shrine Bowl because it's convenient for you. You had a phone that you gave out to scouts and NFL personnel. Then you lost the phone. I watched his podcast where he said, yeah, I had my mom turn the house upside down looking for it. You're an adult. You're 23 years old. Are you serious about going into the NFL and being drafted by a team to play quarterback? You lost the phone. What, are you going to lose the playbook with all of our secrets in it? Misplayed their hand. I could continue on it. There's so many things. You go to the combine and you tell them, history repeats itself. If you don't want to change the culture, don't get me. When you're looking for a job, don't ever tell employers not to hire you. It's the dumbest thing you could do. You want it. Don't challenge them to not get you. Don't verbalize that. If you don't want to change the culture, don't get me. You don't got it like that, homeboy. You showed up at the combine. Jackson Dart was throwing. Will Howard was throwing. Tyler Shuck threw. You can't throw? We're not asking you to run the 40. We know you don't have a good 40 time. We're not asking you to jump. We know you don't have the vertical. We know you're not an athlete like that. You can't throw. You're above throwing. You're only going to throw at your combine. Okay. And last but not least, get an agent. You're not bigger than the system in place. His agent is his dad, Deion Sanders. Oh, my goodness. I don't know how we didn't realize. I don't know how we none of us saw this until afterwards. The error in their ways. They completely misplayed their hand. Shiloh, his younger brother, hired Drew Rosenhaus after he went undrafted. And he got him signed immediately with the Buccaneers undrafted free agent. Get an agent. The agent would have probably told you, maybe you should throw. Maybe you shouldn't say this. Maybe you shouldn't do that. Like, it's so bad how the league ended up humbling him. And it wasn't collusion. It was just the draft. The draft is a competition. A lot of these teams have quarterbacks. Look at how many teams in the NFL from last year's draft being a heavy quarterback draft. Broncos don't need to draft him. Falcons don't need to draft him. Patriots, Bears, Commanders. On top of the teams with the best quarterbacks in the league, like the Chiefs, the Bills, the Ravens, the Bengals. Start doing the math. I did it already. There was a small pool of teams that potentially would take him. And he made it seem like, I don't need you, you need me. And I think that's Deion that was telling him about how Deion went into the draft, right? The old story about the Giants, they had like a little Wonderlic test for him. Oh, where y'all picking? 17? I won't be there. I'm going top five. So it's a cautionary tale, but like only one that could learn from it was Deion and Shador. I don't think we'll ever see this again. The combination of, hey, you already have a Delta Airlines commercial. You already have a Gatorade commercial. You have $6 million that you made in NIL. Shador Sanders made more money in NIL his last year at Colorado, where they also retired his jersey for what reason, I don't know. He made more money at Colorado than he's going to make his rookie year in the NFL. That's nuts. We've never seen a combination of this. It was a perfect storm for him to be humbled. And now we'll see how he responds to it. Now we'll see if he can actually just put football first. Does he love football, right? He misplayed his workouts with Cam Ward. Cam Ward is saying all the right things. Yo, let's make a song. I don't make songs. Let's make a rap song. Let's cut a video. No. When people look me up, I want it to say Cam Ward, American football. Oh, you don't have any other hobbies? No. What do you like to do for fun? Play football. I'm about to be the number one pick. I'm about to be the Titans franchise quarterback. What are you talking about? So it's so easy to see now. It's so clear to see now, but I don't know. I've talked about it, and I've read so many things, and I'm not the only one saying this. Chris Carter had a lot to say about it. Cam Newton had a lot to say about it. The combination of them coming in with like, oh, history repeats itself. I changed the culture at Jackson State. Jackson State needed a culture change. They needed an injection of celebrity and status and clout at Jackson State. They were miserable. An HBCU that was just getting ran over. Their only claim to fame was Walter Payton went to school there. And how long ago was that? Colorado was 1-11. They were irrelevant for a decade and a half. They needed it. So much so that they brought Deion in, not being able to pay him, not knowing how they were going to pay him. And Deion brought The Rock out there. He brought Lil Wayne out there. He brought all of these legends from Warren Sapp to Michael Irvin and all these rappers from Cam'ron, Mace, Boss Man, D-Lo, BX the Plug to Boulder, Colorado. They needed it. The NFL didn't need it. The NFL didn't want it. These NFL franchises didn't want it or need it. The NFL wanted the marketing and promo of the draft. So much so the draft opens up. You see the marquee. It's Cam Ward. It's Travis Hunter, it's Ashton Jeanty, it's Shador Sanders. Well, those guys all went top six. Shador Sanders went fifth round because, like, they smacked his hand. You overplayed your hand, they smacked your hand. And you came in and you weren't humble at all, and they humbled you. And it's a hell of a script in a movie. I was riveted all weekend. I still am like, I'll talk about this forever, how it all played out. 888-808-1019. Well, not forever, because we got a break. And then when we come back, I'm going to take the rest of the calls that I have. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here we go. First pitch time, 831. And Jeter swings. It's a high drive to left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Derek Jeter hits a first ball fastball deep in the bleachers in left field. And on the first pitch of the game, the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
That country grammar. I like that EIB. All right, anyway, Keith McPherson on The Fan. Shedeur Sanders still in the media, still, you know, popping up. Like, Aaron Rodgers is a song that doesn't end. Now Shedeur Sanders is a song that's not going to end. I'm rooting for the kid. There's a ton of people rooting for the kid. He's got the number one selling jersey. I actually went and looked. I was about to punch that Travis Hunter jersey. If you've heard me talk, like, I've got family in Jacksonville, and I'm sure I'll be going back down there while he's playing there. I'm like, yo, that Travis Hunter jersey is tough. Travis Hunter did have the number one selling jersey initially. Shedeur has beat him. So, yeah, that's just, I don't know. That's how things work now, right? He's got the followers. People are aware of him. There's a lot of people supporting him. All this did was help him. Now, did it hurt him to, you know, his draft stock falling and him not making the money he would have made as a first round, second round, you know, being a fifth round? Sure, but he's rich already. I guess in theory, and he, there was a, someone popped up an interview with him on Overtime from months ago where he said, I already bought everything I wanted. They're like, you know, what big purchase are you going to make when you get drafted? He's like, I don't have one. Like, I'm already rich. I'm already famous. The dream is not to get to the NFL to make $45 million. The dream is to get to the NFL. So we'll see if he really loves football and if he really wants to lock in and put on in the work to be great. Limo driver Ed on The Fan calling from Princeton. What's up, Ed?
What did I tell you about him? I said him and his daddy. Listen, there's no way 32 teams are going to turn him away if they didn't want to make an example and laughing stock about him and his father. And they did. They did. I don't care what he says. He can put on that face and you got all the money. Listen, when you in the NFL and you get drafted and you get that maybe top 10, all right, you're feeling very good about yourself. For him not to even get picked, and to tell you the truth about the Cleveland Browns would have never got him, but his daddy got on the phone and called him because he's good friends with the general manager.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if his dad called him. Andrew Berry, they looked like they were forced to. I think the owner of the Browns stepped in, right, and said, hey, didn't you guys interview him? Didn't you talk to him?
He played with one of the only the owner or the general manager, somebody he played with, they said. Now I'm gonna tell you, that's fine. But I tell you one thing, they got a chance to embarrass them in front of millions of people, and they did. Not 32 teams.
Yeah, but it's really, I'll do the math right now. Thanks for the call, Ed. It's really not 32 teams. You think the Chiefs are involved in that? You think the Kansas City Chiefs are involved in that? With Patrick Mahomes and Bailey Zappi in their quarterback room? Andy Reid doesn't need Shedeur Sanders, but I don't think he was doing anything to, like, humble Shedeur Sanders. They just weren't in. It's the draft. Let's go back to what the draft is. The draft is your opportunity to add fresh, young talent to your team, and all you got to do is put the card in and they're yours. So what you do is draft a need. If you don't need a quarterback, you're not looking at Shedeur Sanders. It's not 32 teams. But it seems that way because you watch it go round after round after round, and all of them are passing on him. Now, let me go back to my notes from Monday. I think I got it around like 7 or 8 teams. And you start with the teams that drafted quarterbacks. And you start eliminating teams that drafted quarterbacks that did not draft quarterbacks that could potentially start for them. At the bottom, Quinn Ewers in the 7th round. You can eliminate the Miami Dolphins. They signed Tua to long-term deal, big money, and like Quinn Ewers is not going to see the field. even the 49ers, Curtis Rourke, I talked about from Indiana, they just drafted the kid. Like, he's going to be a practice guy. They're going to develop him. He's not seeing the field. Cam Miller out of North Dakota State, the Raiders drafted him. They don't need him. They have Aiden O'Connell, and they signed Geno Smith. Graham Mertz out of Florida, they don't need. They have C.J. Stroud. They have Davis Mills. They have two quarterbacks that have been drafted in the last 4 years, 5 years, and have played in the NFL, and C.J. Stroud is a franchise quarterback. The Colts, they drafted Riley Leonard from Notre Dame. They currently have Anthony Richardson that they drafted fourth overall, and they went and added Daniel Jones. Now we're getting to a team that definitely passed on him. The Steelers drafted Will Howard in the sixth round. They absolutely passed on Shedeur Sanders. And it ain't a racist thing because they're owned by the Rooneys, who created the Rooney Rule. It ain't a racist thing because Mike Tomlin is black. And I remember talking about Mike Tomlin, and what I did was cite Mike Tomlin's son played at the University of Maryland last year. Mike Tomlin didn't bring his son in. Mike Tomlin's son is going to play with Shador's brother, Deion's other son, Shiloh, in Tampa. Both of them probably get cut. The Eagles. Now, there was a rumor that the Eagles were thinking about drafting Shedeur because Howie Roseman and the Super Bowl champs, they're good at drafting, and they could take on the media storm of a Shedeur Sanders. So if there was a little bit of a rumbling, because who's the backup quarterback there now? They traded away Kenny Pickett. They were thinking about it as Shedeur fell because, wow, that's great value. Jalen Hurts is hurt every year. We're going to take Shedeur. So they passed on him, but like the Eagles are a team, maybe like they, I don't know. Dylan Gabriel being drafted right before Shedeur, pretty much like they double down. The Browns are a team. The Giants are definitely a team that passed on him. The Saints are a team that passed on him. The Titans are a team that passed on him, but they got Cam Ward. And the Seahawks are a team that passed on him. I think really there's like six teams. If you didn't draft a quarterback in this draft, I don't think you were interested in Shedeur Sanders. If you have a starting quarterback in your room that's a franchise quarterback and you have a back, like, I just don't think so. I think there's really like six teams that, as we went around, out of 32, there was like six teams that potentially could have drafted Shedeur and passed. Ray is in Forge, New Jersey. You're on the Fan, Ray.
Hey, Chris. So I agree with pretty much everything that you have brought up so far about the Shedeur Sanders catastrophe. But there has to be something to be said about the viewership on days 2 and 3 of the draft compared to last year. I mean, day 2, I think, had a 40% increase over last year. Day 3 had like a 43%. So I think just the fact of the story behind this kid definitely supported the NFL and the viewership, definitely. Now, that being said, I will say the Sanders family undeniably is also responsible, for his drop, right? I mean, I think you guys all said it. You had a lot of callers come in and say it. Overly confident, right? Lacking agent representation. Didn't throw at his tryouts. And so that obviously didn't help him. But there's something to be said there. I mean, the kid obviously is rich and has everything he needs. I think everybody saw the videos with the million-dollar chain, if you will, and everything else. But at the same time, the NFL did benefit by dragging this story on for 2 or 3 days in a draft because that viewership was through the roof.
Yeah, but I just don't think that there's any way that they could have premeditated that or got together for, like, collusion as a group thing. Thanks for the call, Ray, and pointing that out. I had that in my notes. The NFL draft, the NFL is king. The NFL draft had 13.6 million viewers for round one. The NBA Finals had 12.2 million at its peak. And it's not just the TV. The amount of foot traffic and people that they physically had in Green Bay, it almost doubled what they expected. So the Shedeur Sanders was just like, this was just a part of the whole NFL script writing and how they're just connected with the universe and they just win, right? The 2025 NFL drafts round 2 and 3 viewership, it's the second most watched day 2 on record, 7.3 million average across ESPN2, NFL networks, and ABC, up more than 40% from last year. The NFL just won, but there's no way that Roger Goodell is calling owner saying pass on this kid. Pass on him. Everyone's watching. Mel Kiper's losing his mind on the broadcast. That's enough to make you turn it off. It just was a perfect storm. Someone who was an amateur coming into the professional league that was such a popular amateur but did not have the professional level skills to be drafted. But all of these people watching, not all of us, like, not all of them knew that. There were so many people talking about, oh, look at how they're doing Shador. No, look at how Shador did himself. I don't know. It's a hell of a story. And that's it. That's what I got to say about it. But ultimately, when they do his 30 for 30, or they look back on this, be humble. And if you're looking for a job ever, don't come in. Like, imagine me coming into WFA and being like, I should be on a morning show. I don't got a reel. I don't got a demo. You don't got to hear me. I should be on afternoon. C-Max coming up next. I'm out of here. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. FM. WFA.